Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So today's the last Sunday of the church year. This is also sometimes called Christ the King Sunday. Today we look not only back at the work of Jesus, the King of Kings, but also forward as we await his return in glory. But what's with that gospel lesson? It would certainly seem more appropriate for Good Friday and rather out of place for Christ the King Sunday. Or is it? You see, Jesus came as a different kind of king, not the kind that most people expected or expect. And I think a poem titled "They Missed Him" says it well. They were looking for a lion, he came as a lamb, and they missed him. They were looking for a warrior, he came as a peacemaker, and they missed him. They were looking for a king, he came as a servant, and they missed him. They were looking for liberation from Rome, he submitted to the Roman stake, and they missed him. They were looking for a fit to their mold, he was the mold maker, and they missed him. They were looking for their temporal needs to be met, he came to meet their eternal need, and they missed him. What are you looking for? Lion, warrior, king, liberated, liberator? What are you looking for? He came as a lamb to be sacrificed for your sin. Will you miss him? He came to make peace between God and man. Will you miss him? He came to model servanthood for all mankind. Will you miss him? He came that we might have true liberty. But will you miss him? He came to give you eternal life. Will you miss him? When we submit to the Lamb, we will meet the Lion. Join with the peacemaker, and we will meet the warrior. Work with the servant, and we will meet the King. Concern ourselves with the eternal, and we will have the temporal. If Jesus is not fitting into the mold you have, then come to the mold maker and get a new one. Submit to his plan for your life, and you will see the eternal need met first. Then all the other things you have and have need of will be taken care of as well. So why are you here this morning? You woke up, got dressed, maybe had a cup of coffee, tea, some breakfast, then got in your car and you drove here. So there must have been a reason. Every Sunday, believers gather, all around the world gather together, but why do they do it? As the body of Christ, you and I have the privilege to worship, to praise, to bend our knees in honor and respect to this King of Kings. Worship is a right and a privilege, a duty even for each of us. But there are so many around us who see this time as useless, wasted, and unneeded. Why worship? Why sing praises? There's a story told of a sheep rancher who found that his violin was out of tune. And try as he might, he was unable to make the instrument sound the way it should. And he was a frequent listener to a particular radio station, so he wrote that station about his problem, and he asked if at a certain time on a certain day they would play a particular note. And surprisingly, they did just that. They put their programming on hold for that time and struck that note. And out there in his hut in the distant mountains, the shepherd heard that sound, and from that single note, he put his instrument into tune again. Maybe that's a pretty good picture of why we come to church, why we stop for a special need of being in touch with God, because it's here that we listen for the tone that he strikes for our lives, for the pitch that puts our hearts in tune again. But what tune do we wish to sing? We say that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but what does that really mean? Like that poem asks, what kind of a king and lord do we want Jesus to be? And your answer will determine whether you meet him or miss him. See, most of the people who saw Jesus on the cross that first Good Friday saw him as a failure. Someone who wasn't able to live up to the title inscribed above his head, the King of the Jews. There were religious leaders who thought they knew all about God, but even though they knew the words of their scriptures, they clearly didn't know what they meant. They had read of the Messiah who was coming, but they thought of him as an earthly king, a ruler who would deliver the Jewish people out of the hands of their Roman conquerors. They saw Jesus hanging on the cross, and they said, "This can't be a conqueror, the conqueror we were looking for." So they taunted him. "He saved others. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one, let him save himself." But Jesus did nothing. He was obviously a failure. There were also some Roman soldiers at the cross who joined in mocking Jesus. They saw just another pretender to the throne brought to his knees by the Roman Empire. Everything they did and said was intended to add to Jesus' humiliation. "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." But Jesus did nothing because he was a failure. And even one of the criminals hanging beside him joined in. And this criminal wanted salvation, the kind anyone would want in his situation, to get him down from his cross and end his suffering. And his taunt was even more personal than the others. "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But Jesus did nothing. So he must be a failure. I think we're regularly called to ask, what kind of a king do we want Jesus to be? There are many today who see Jesus and what he taught, even some who claim to believe in him, as a bit of a joke. Faith is a weakness, a crutch for the uneducated to lean upon. Look at all the advancements we've made in science and technology. And many of these prove that the idea of an almighty God is ridiculous. And to try to say that this one hanging on a cross is the greatest and true king, that's got to be the biggest joke of all. Now, I imagine that none of us would ever admit to having these kind of thoughts or creep into our minds. But I wonder if many of us, trust our computer more than the power of prayer. How many of us would rather rely on the strength of our U.S. military than the powerful right arm of the Almighty God? And how many of us find more comfort in our 401k or bank account rather than the one who promises to provide for all of our needs? The synagogue rulers and the criminal on the cross were looking for Jesus to give them a better life. And all they saw was him dying on the cross. We are dying, like that criminal next to Jesus. We all have our problems. And though we might not admit it, our first impulse is that we want God to fix them for us. And when that doesn't happen, the way or as quickly as we desire, it's easy to question Jesus, just like those religious authorities and that thief. "If you are the Christ, then save us from our problems. How could you let me lose my job? How could you let my spouse leave me? Why can't I go a month without ending up in the red? Why are 4 beautiful young people who have their whole life ahead of them brutally murdered as they slept? You say you're the Christ. If so, show me. Take these problems away." But there was another character in this story that we have yet to consider, and he's one of the most unlikely heroes found in the Bible. His lawless life had earned him a death sentence. He knew that he deserved what he was receiving and that Jesus did not. Yet he was dying the same death as him and the other criminal. And what set him apart from all who were watching is that he didn't see Jesus as a failure. In some way, working of the Spirit, obviously, he was able to see Jesus for who he really was. There was something more going on in this man dying beside him. And this prompted him to ignore and even reprimand those who mocked and demanded that Jesus come down from the cross. And it was his cry, the cry from a criminal's heart, that Jesus answered while he was on the cross. That criminal longed for the rescue that only Jesus could provide. And he cried out, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus responded, I tell you, with words of, he responded to that humble plea. He answered with these words of comfort, "I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise." That criminal didn't have to wait any longer for his salvation. That very day he would be with Jesus in paradise. And one can only imagine the relief and the comfort that came from those words. And these are the very same words that Jesus speaks to your heart today. These are the words that you and I need to hear again and again. These are the words that our hearts long to believe. As Isaiah said, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Unfortunately, peace continues to often elude us. Like the synagogue rulers and the other criminals that day, we want Jesus to make everything better in our lives right now. We want our problems to go away. We want every day to be happy. We want to get that raise. We want our spouse to be more loving. We want, but Jesus isn't interested in giving us what we want. Rather, he gives us what we need. In Christ, we find everything we need for life. Forgiveness, salvation, and a true peace that will last through all of those problems. At the beginning of this sermon, I asked why you came to church this morning. I hope you've been able to think about that a bit. Maybe that question troubled you. Maybe you weren't really able to put into words why you came. But hopefully you've been given something to think about. Maybe you've been able to see that your heart needs to hear that note that retunes your life. Maybe you've recognized that the king you want, the Jesus you often ask for, isn't the Jesus who hung on the cross, but a Jesus of your own making. And if so, I hope you've been able to refocus a bit on what kind of a King of Kings and Lord of Lords he came to be and truly is. When you come to church on Sunday morning, more than anything, I want you to look at that cross and know that Jesus was not a failure. He really is your king. He's not a king that conquered lands and peoples while he was here on earth, but he's a king that conquered our greatest enemies, sin, death, and the devil. And he's a king who continues to conquer sinful and broken hearts and brings peace when he rules there. And he's also a king who will turn his face to you and answer your soul's cry with words of eternal comfort. I tell you the truth. Someday soon, you will be with me in paradise.